A veteran newsman, Jim Lehrer has presided over 11 presidential debates. His new book, Tension City, Inside the Presidential Debates, From Kennedy Nixon to Obama McCain, offers readers a revealing look at more than 40 years of televised political debate in America. Born in Kansas, Lehrer received a journalism degree from the University of Missouri before joining the Marines. From 59 to 66, he was a reporter for the Dallas Morning News and the Dallas Times Herald. His newspaper career led him to public TV. He moved to Washington to serve as the public affairs coordinator for PBS and then to the National Public Affairs Center for Television. This led to his association with Robert McNeil and to their long-term partnership. Lehrer has received numerous awards, including two Emmys and the George Foster Peabody Broadcast Award. He is the author of 20 novels, two memoirs, and three plays. Welcome, Jim. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report.
Oh, the pleasure's mine, Elaine. Thank you.
How did you choose Tension City as the title of this book?
Well, there's a backstory to it. I worked on the book 2.5 or 3 years, and from day one, when I first came across the empty computer screen to start, I wrote the title Moderator by Jimmy Charles, whatever. And for 2.5, 3 years I worked on the book, it was always called Moderator. And then once the book was done, it was ready to go to print, more or less, my editor at Random House called me and said, "Oh, Jim, we've been talking," which is a little scary because I know who we is. And I said, "What have you been talking about?" "Well, we don't think the title is really that great." And I said, "Well, that's too bad because the title is Moderator." And he said, "Okay, don't get too defensive on me." He said, "Just think of one, let me ask you one question." And I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, the question is, would you buy a book if with the title Moderator?" And I said, "Oh, okay, all right, I'll give it some thought." And I remembered one of the great privileges I had in addition to moderating presidential debates was I've had, over a period of 20 years, I did one-on-one interviews with just about all of the people who participated in these debates as candidates, either for president or for vice president, about their debate experiences. And I remembered, after I got that call, something that George H.W. Bush had told me when I asked him about the debates. He said, I asked him some hard-hitting question like, "Well, what were they like?" Something like that. And he said, those high-tension things, Jim, they are Tension City. And I remembered that, so I called Random House, and I said, "How about Tension City?" And he said, "Oh, you got it. So that's where it came from. And once I had realized, once that deal was made, I realized how appropriate it is, because everybody involved in these presidential, vice presidential debates is in some kind of Tension City format or mode. The candidates, the moderator, the people who are doing the lights, the people who are doing the sound, the people who are doing the seating, everybody involved is at some level of tension.
You wrote that George H.W. Bush felt that the debates were contrived, that the candidates were prompted, that there was an artificiality to it. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I mean, he said a lot of things, and he just hated those debates, and he said it quite openly. I believe that there is no way in the world any candidate for president of the United States could refuse to participate in a debate now. We're here talking now about 2011-2012 election year. There's just no way anybody. In the old days, it was easy. Incumbents, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, when it came time to run for re-election, they just said, no debates. And that was the end of it. But those days are gone.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to ask you, Nixon said of his debate with Kennedy, quote, "I paid too much attention to what I was going to say and too little to how I would look." Is that a reality today?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. There are examples after examples of candidates who did not heed Richard Nixon's words, and they paid a price for it. And you can argue, oh, that's terrible, because it should all be about words and substance. But there are two different kinds of words. There are the spoken words, and then there are the language words. And people take the measure of both. They hear and see both. And the body language is, in some ways, as important in some cases. places as the spoken language. And because people essentially in these presidential debates, vice presidential debates, remember, they come in the late fall. They're in late September, early October. By then, most of the people have already decided for whom they're going to vote or are leaning very strongly. What they about issues, they've pretty well resolved it. If you're in favor of lockboxes for Social Security, I'm with this person. Against it, I'm with it, whatever. But what remains and why these debates are so important is the is to take the measure of the individual. And that you take it in all kinds of different ways. Yes, with the way they answer questions and all of that, but it's the way they handle themselves. And you think you kind of judge presidential temperament. You kind of, people can't help it. Even if it's somebody you're opposed to, you know one of these people is going to be elected president. So you think, can I imagine this person sitting behind a desk in the Oval Office, making a decision about sending Americans into harm's way, reacting to another Katrina, reacting to another 9/11, all those kinds of things. And it's all about it's about the person as much as it is what his or her views might be.
Now, you mentioned town hall debates. I know some of my friends are saying, I don't want to see a town hall debate. I want the professionals to be asking the tough questions. What's your opinion about that?
Well, the way they operate, frankly, I pretty much say this in the book, the way these town hall formats are engineered and finessed and all of that, it has nothing to do with the public. They are, you could get 150, 200 people, they select questions, and any moderator knows there are only about 22 of them are going to be asked. So, and who selects those 22? The moderator. And so you have to... And when you came down in my case, and it would in any moderator's case, is okay, wait a minute, I've gone through the 22 best, I've picked up 22 of the best questions. Uh-oh, they can't all be left-handed, they can't be all from left-handed medium-sized white women or something like that. I mean, the gender thing, the race thing, the age, everything has to be covered. And so it's very, very tricky in picking those questions. And so it's artificial. It's no question it's artificial.
Seems like there's a lot of jockeying for position and where the debates are being held, from the Convocation Center in Miami to other parts of the country. How is that decided, actually?
Well, the debate commission, the moderator has nothing to do with that. Let me say that again. The moderator has nothing to do with where these things are held. But the debate commission does that, and they get essentially bids, I think. I mean, I think they apply, and they've put up some money. But basically, what a moderator is there to do is traffic cop and to react intelligently to what is being said and not suddenly be... Oh, for instance, I tell a story in the book, and it's the thing, example I use all the time. Let's say I'm interviewing somebody. I'm interviewing a senator, and I say, Senator, should we sell more grain to Cuba? Yes, Jim, I think we should sell more grain to Cuba, but before we do that, we should bomb Havana. And I say very quickly... What kind of grain, Senator? Because that was my next question.
Yes.
Those kinds of things, and you can, people who listen and watch radio or television interviews, they'll see that all the time, where some interviewer or moderator just didn't pick up on what was said. It was hugely important, and that's because they weren't relaxed enough.
And how long did it take you to prepare for a presidential debate?
Well, they're not all the same. Unfortunately, in most cases, journalists who are selected to do this kind of work have been covering the campaign all along. It isn't like they've just dropped out by parachute in to moderate a presidential debate. So they've been covering the campaign. They know what the issues are, and but it's slightly different. For instance, the last one I moderated was 2008, John McCain, Barack Obama. The financial crisis had just hit, and I was supposed to do national security and foreign affairs. Well, because the financial crisis hit, it was agreed that the financial crisis fell into that category of national security and anyhow, so I started asking about the financial crisis, but I only had about 48 hours to kind of get it. And I was not an expert on the financial crisis, not an expert on the economy. Sure, I knew a lot about it. I've asked a lot of questions about it and all that. So I had to hit the books, so to speak, and I had to hit my comfort level at a rocket speed so I could listen to what these people were saying about the economy and even that it was in the early days of the economic thing, literally in the early days.
Well, of course, I have to ask you about the recent crop of Republican hopefuls and their debating amongst the on television. What are your comments?
Well, I think the if anybody ever doubted the importance of debates, all you have to do is think about what's happened with the Republican debates. The facts are obvious. Rick Perry, the perfect example. He announces and he skyrockets to the top of the polls. First debate, he doesn't do well. He drops. Second debate, he does poorly again. He drops further. Third, same. Now he's single digits. Michelle Bachmann, as the debates began, she was in the top tier. She didn't do very well the first debate, second debate, third debate. Now she's single digits. On the positive side, Herman Cain, with all of his current problems, when the debate season began, Herman Cain wasn't even a blip. Everybody thought, didn't even take him seriously as a candidate, but as a result of the debates, he did draw attention and he rose in the polls, his current problems aside.
If called, would you consider moderating a 2012 debate?
No, ma'am. I've done that for my psyche and my country, and I wouldn't have written the book if I was still willing or thinking about it. I would accept another invitation to do debates. That's what I've done. I survived, and I'm proud of what I've done, and I'm honored to have been asked in the past. But enough's enough.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's a wonderful book. Everyone should read it before this election.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you.